Welcome to the ENA Podcast with your host, Dan Campana.
This is the ENA Podcast, and this is Dan Campana, the Director of Communications with the Emergency Nurses Association, welcoming you to our latest episode. And this is a fun episode because it's a little bit different than some of the topics we typically talk about on the clinical side, but certainly an area that is important because of you just don't know kind of category of things. You just don't know. And what we just don't know necessarily about is the concept of weapons of mass destruction, or WMD. Maybe not necessarily something that's top of mind in emergency departments, and maybe there's just not enough information that's out there just in normal day-to-day education for nurses. So that's why ENA has been fortunate enough to work a little alongside and with the FBI on a series that they've put together called the FBI's ABCs of WMDs series. To help us do that today from the FBI, we've got Chris Johnston, who's the Supervisory Special Agent with WMD Directorate, and Jessica Young, who is a Management Program Analyst also with the WMD Directorate. Chris and Jessica, welcome to the ENA Podcast.
Thank you.
Let's start with a little bit of background. Jessica, why don't you talk a little bit about your background, and Chris, you can kind of follow up there so we can get a sense of a little of what it is that you guys do with the FBI in this particular area.
Sure. So again, my name is Jess Young. I'm a management and program analyst. I have a bachelor's degree in microbiology and in French, and a master's of science in forensic science, being an emphasis in biology and chemistry. And a few years ago, I completed a certificate in biosecurity and disaster preparedness. So needless to say, I'm a very proud science nerd. I am a MAPA, a management program analyst at the FBI, 1 month shy of 18 years of federal government service.
Wow.
So I work within the WMD Directorate's Chemical Biological Countermeasures Unit, also called CBCU, because we love acronyms in the government. So we all have acronyms for everything. I primarily focus on planning and promoting law enforcement response programs for biological threats in coordination with subject matter experts. I also manage and instruct at the FBI and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, the Criminal Epidemiologic Investigations Workshop, which trains public health and law enforcement individuals at the federal, state, local levels on how to work together to conduct their respective epidemiologic and criminal investigations during a bioterrorism threat or incident. Before CBCU, I worked for the WMD's National Policy and Planning Office, editing presidential policy directives and interagency agreements, and attending National Security Council policy coordination meetings. And then before coming to the WMD Directorate here at headquarters, I worked for the FBI's laboratory division as a microbiologist processing hazardous material crime scenes for the Scientific Response and Analysis Unit, and as a biologist for the missing persons, the subsection within the mitochondrial DNA unit, extracting and sequencing mitochondrial DNA.
Chris, how do you top that with your background?
That's what I can answer. So I have a bachelor's degree in biology and a master's of science degree in counterterrorism, focused on chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and explosive weapons threats and defenses. Prior to joining the FBI, I was actually a high school science teacher. And then when I joined the FBI, I was assigned to the FBI Tampa field office in Tampa, Florida, where I worked on the International Terrorism Squad of the Joint Terrorism Task Force, or JTTF. I was a member of the FBI Tampa Division Hazmat team for 10 years, and I was the team leader for that team for the last 3 years that I was in Tampa. I was also the FBI Weapons of Mass Destruction Coordinator, or WMD Coordinator, as we call them, for 3 years, where I focused exclusively on WMD matters. Then I worked as a Supervisory Special Agent for FBI Laboratory Division, where I assisted with and oversaw the FBI forensic crime scene processing operations, both at hazardous and traditional crime scenes. And finally, I moved up here to the FBI WMD Directorate at FBI headquarters in DC, where Jess and I work on proactive measures to prevent people from obtaining chemical or biological agents and prepare interagency personnel to respond effectively to chemical or biological incidents.
Want to get into the program in a second, but just if maybe you kind of lay some groundwork for us. WMD, maybe not something that people have a true understanding of what that covers. They may just kind of envision it in maybe the worst case scenarios, but what's sort of the baseline description of what a WMD is?
So for a WMD, it's defined in U.S. law, which is 18 U.S.C. 2332A, and it covers explosives, chemicals, biologicals, nuclear, and radiological materials, which for explosives would be any explosive or incendiary device as defined in Title 18 U.S.C., Section 921, which would be like bombs, grenades, rockets, etc. For chemicals, it's any weapon designed or intended to cause death or serious injury through the release or impact of toxic or poisonous chemicals or their precursors. For biological, it's any weapon involving a biological agent, toxin, or vector, and their terms are defined in Section 178. And for radiological nuclear, it's any weapon that is designed to release radiation or radioactivity at a level dangerous to human life.
That said, what was the impetus for the creation of the series, the FBI's ABCs of WMDs?
So healthcare workers, they may be the first to detect the use or production of a weapon of mass destruction, a WMD. Say, for example, in 2001, during the Marathrax attack, where letters were mailed across the U.S. that contained Bacillus anthracis, the bacteria that causes the disease anthrax, healthcare workers in Florida were the first to suspect the index victim had contracted inhalational anthrax. Medical staff and first responders are on the front lines for recognizing and detecting patient exposure to dangerous pathogens, toxins, chemical, or radiological materials. These agents may have significant impact on people, property, the economy, and or critical infrastructure like your medical facility. Not only is law enforcement concerned about victims of an attack seeking medical treatment, but care of the perpetrator as well. Threat actors while preparing for a chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear explosives event might be injured and seek medical care as well. We wanted to create the FBI's ABCs on WMDs podcast series for the medical community to be better equipped and knowledgeable about all aspects of a WMD threat or incident, such as like how to prepare for, mitigate, and respond to this type of medical emergency. Because for the most part, this type of subject matter is not really provided to frontline workers. There's not really a bioterrorism 101 class during nursing school or med school. I know when I studied microbiology in college, we certainly didn't have this class, which would have been really cool. It was an educational gap I saw time and time again, mentioned in policy documentation and national strategies, and heard from our FBI personnel that work to educate their medical partners in the field. And there are so many benefits with this series. First, this training series is completely free of cost, no charge to the listener. Another is that attendees can flexibly fit the podcast episodes, which run about 30 minutes in length, into their busy schedules, say during commute times to and from work. And also, all sessions will be vetted by ENA for potential nursing continuing education credits, which we know are required annually for nursing professionals. Finally, this podcast is the first of its kind addressing and training medical professionals on chem, biological, rad, nuclear, explosive-related threats and issues. This will in turn create a new channel of information flow to potentially prevent a WMD event from even occurring.
And as just mentioned, these are housed on the ENA website. The first three episodes are there. Chris, can you talk a little bit about how the series is broken down? Because this feels very complicated, feels very complex. How did you make it digestible for the healthcare worker and ED nurses in particular?
Sure. So we wanted this podcast series to be a holistic training medium focused on how to plan for and respond to a WMD threat or incident. We intend to not only use subject matter experts from within the FBI WMD Directorate to discuss WMD topics, but also other FBI divisions experts that deal with things like mass communications during a criminal event or criminal services and aid and resources for victims of federal crimes. We're also including experts from other federal partners that deal with mask decontamination, triage of patients, and emerging threats. So basically, we're trying to address a variety of areas related to WMD to aid medical personnel with detecting, deterring, mitigating, and responding to a WMD event. So for the first three episodes, we'll discuss who to call if you suspect a WMD event may occur or has occurred in your area, and that would be your FBI WMD coordinator. Then we'll discuss the general triggers of a chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, or explosive WMD event in order to notify your WMD coordinator in a timely manner. And finally, we'll discuss what is evidence that might be brought into or generated from treating patients at your medical facility. So if any listeners have other WMD topics you'd like to get more information on, we would love to hear from listeners about what is needed from the front lines. We have about 10 episodes in mind altogether, if my boss and ENA will allow me to record and post. But I am more than happy to hear from viewers if there are any other areas they would like us to consider.
I'll throw this out to both of you, but we'll start with Jess. With so much out there and available, and obviously you guys live this, so you have a tremendous interest in all the facets of it. But Jess, starting with you, what are some of the key takeaways from this series to this point with the episodes that you have, but as you go through the continuity of some of these other episodes as well?
So some of the key takeaways, we want to work together with you, the medical community, nursing community, if there is a WMD incident that happens within your community. Even though we, the FBI, are from the law enforcement sector and our culture is very different from yours, we both have the same overarching goals. We all want to help stop a future or any follow-on WMD attacks, help victims and get them the resources they need to get better. And we all want to go home safe and sound to our families at the end of the day.
Chris, what about you? What are some of the takeaways on your side?
Yeah, with this series, we hope to better educate the medical community about how to deal with various aspects of a WMD threat or incident and increase your familiarity with our organization so you feel more comfortable in reaching out to law enforcement if you think there's a potential threat to report. We want people to understand that when you call the FBI, it's not always like what you see in the movies, where a bunch of black trucks and people in ray jackets show up at your facility and swarm your hallways. 99% of the time, it's just a simple conversation between two people to talk things through.
Emergency nurses are very straightforward. They're on that front line. They see a lot of things. What specifically do you think emergency nurses and obviously the entire emergency care team, what do you think they need to know about WMDs? Because they probably are coming from a point of no reference to start off before they start to listen to this series.
Yeah, what I would say to emergency nurses and, you know, all parties of any emergency care team is a lot of the plans and procedures you have in place for emergency preparedness can be pivoted to how you should respond to a WMD event. So sit down and look over those plans and make sure to have, like, say, an annex or an appendix dealing with a chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear explosives event. I like to reference General George S. Patton, as he said, which is a good plan violently executed now is better than a perfect plan executed next week. So basically plan for this. Get some ideas on paper, like what are your triggers to notify law enforcement, you know, who to call, and all other pertinent information that you see fit for your area.
Yeah, and just not only to have a plan in place, but to practice this plan as well. That's incredibly important and sometimes overlooked. You might host a tabletop exercise or a full field training exercise dealing with the WMD event. At the FBI, we have personnel that can help you plan for an exercise and identify attendees that will want to attend that exercise or contribute to the process in some way. In our first episode, we're going to explain who to specifically call and how we can help you before and during a WMD threat or event. Back in 2016, when I was at FBI Tampa Division, I was one of the first FBI personnel who responded to the mass shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando in June of that year. Not long before that event, the Orlando Regional Medical Center had completed a massive interagency training exercise focused on a fictional active shooter event. Several times after the Pulse nightclub shooting, personnel from that medical center have credited that specific training exercise with helping them be more prepared to deal with an actual shooting.
And another item is that you are the subject matter expert of what you do. As I like to say, if the hairs on the back of your neck and arms stick up because things just don't feel right, patients aren't showing typical signs and symptoms of what you expect to see, whatever you feel is out of the ordinary and get a gut feeling something is wrong or may have a nefarious background, please, call law enforcement, like us, the FBI. You don't have to be an expert in all things WMD, just enough, which we hope you will learn from these episodes, to make that call to get you in contact with those experts and resources. The quicker we get that phone call, the quicker we can get your medical facility the aid you need and community at large to deal with this event.
Yeah, we would like the emergency nurses and others on the emergency care team to be aware that individuals could show up at any time with signs and symptoms of exposure to WMD materials, which could include chemical, biological, radiological, or explosive materials. Emergency medical personnel are typically really skilled at asking questions and assessing patients, including determining whether their symptoms match up with the story that the patient provides. If these professionals feel a patient may be a victim of a WMD attack, they should contact local law enforcement and the FBI. They may also come into contact with a terrorist or other criminal who is experimenting or otherwise working with WMD material and may have become unintentionally ill or injured from those very materials. If emergency medical personnel suspect this, they should also contact local law enforcement and the FBI. In short, you can contact the FBI anytime, even if you're uncertain what you might be dealing with. Now, we'd rather you contact us as soon as you suspect something and not wait until you're certain that there's something wrong. At the end of the day, the FBI is made up of a lot of people. You can talk to us and you can count on us to have a level-headed, professional response to your situation. By working together effectively, we believe we can do the most to protect the American people.
I have to say that being neither a nurse nor an FBI agent, just listening to those first couple of episodes, it's really informative, even from a public standpoint as well. So appreciate Jess and Chris, you being a part of the ENA podcast today and sharing about the kickoff of this series, and to really start to add some additional education to the tool belt of emergency nurses and the emergency care teams.
Thanks for having us.
Great. Thank you, sir.
That'll do it for this episode of the ENA podcast. And as I mentioned at the top, and as was mentioned throughout the conversation today, these first three episodes are on the ENA website. They are available. Episode 1C is for coordinator. Episode 2T is for triggers. And episode 3E is for evidence. As Jess mentioned, these are about a half hour or so. I mean, it's a digestible amount of information. And it's important information. I think everybody in our community, the emergency nursing community, certainly understands the benefit of learning about things that maybe you hope you never deal with, but you got to be prepared for. And as Chris mentioned, the FBI is just a phone call away, even for the preparation side of it, not just when something is suspected to happen. With all that, I thank everyone for listening to this episode of the ENA podcast and hope you'll join us next time.
To learn more about ENA or to become a member, visit ena.org/membership.